May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I was born into what you might call a classic nominally Christian home. My parents had married in church. I was christened. I went to a Church of England school, and we went to church for the odd thing, like harvest or today, Remembrance Sunday. And I was taught the most basic prayers of a sort of God bless mum, God bless dad variety. But that was it. So when I came up to Cambridge to read history 25 years ago this term at Christ's College, we got Lady Margaret Silver, you got her money, you did rather better. I knew very little of what the Christian faith was about. And the book I was given when I asked the college chaplain was the book I want to tell you about tonight and which I want to take to my desert island. Gerard Hughes, God of Surprises. Hughes, who died in 2014, was a Roman Catholic priest of the Jesuit order, a group of missionary clergy and laity set up by a man called Ignatius of Loyola, after an experience he'd had exactly 500 years ago this year. Ignatius would have made a great history undergraduate because he was really good at daydreaming. Except not to avoid writing his essay like me, but because he was a soldier who had been badly wounded in the Battle of Pamplona and had nothing to do while he recovered from his injuries. So he would daydream. Daydream of the great military deeds he would perform when he was better, and the many beautiful women he would charm and woo. After a while, he asked if they had any books in the place where he was recuperating, and they had none except a couple of books of saints' lives. So bored was he, even began to read those, and eventually daydreamed about doing the saints in their austerities and virtues and great deeds. And he would alternate his daydreams between the heroic military deeds and women he would love and the saints' virtues and austerities that he would outdo. And he began to notice a strange thing. He enjoyed both sets of dreams at the time. But afterwards, the military and romantic conquest ones left him feeling bored, empty, and a bit sad. But after the dreams about doing the saints, he felt happy, hopeful, and encouraged. And this, which he would later call the discernment of spirits, was an observation that would change not only his life, but millions of other people's lives as well. Ignatius went on to develop an entire set of spiritual exercises, which we call today Ignatian spirituality. And Gerard Hughes wrote what I think is still the best introduction to those exercises and that spirituality that exists. First published in 1985, God of Surprises has never been out of print. I want to share with you this evening three things that I learned from reading that book in Michaelmas term 1996 that have stayed with me ever since. The first is that God is as much within me as he is outside me. I'd always thought, I suppose, of God as up there, outside in some sense, external to me. But Hughes reminded me in his book that Jesus says that the kingdom of God is within you. And that St. Augustine taught us that God is closer to me than I am to myself. And as Augustine wrote, people go abroad to wonder at the heights of mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, yet they pass by themselves without wondering. Prayer is as much about connecting with the God within, the love that sustains us moment by moment, so close that I don't even realize or notice. Prayer is as much about that as it is about speaking to the God who is beyond and outside me. The pilgrimage to God is a journey within. Or if you were reading and listening to the first reading tonight, God is not so much in the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, as he is in the still, small voice of calm. Or if you're feeling theological, which is brave at this stage in term, what we're saying is that God is both transcendent and immanent. And that changed my idea and experience of prayer. The second thing, which is linked to the first thing, is that God can speak to us through our imaginations, as he was through Ignatius's imagination in his daydreams. And this brings the Bible alive, because the stories given to us in the scriptures are no longer moral lectures or mere history, but a world for us to enter into, places for God to speak with us in and through. We engage with God not just with our minds, but with our senses and our feelings too. For we are not, despite the impression that Cambridge can sometimes give, just brains on sticks. And that brings us to our second reading tonight. One of the first passages of Holy Scripture that Gerard Hughes introduces his readers to is the one we heard, the story of the man, the legion, the one with evil spirits, the Gerasene demoniac. And Hughes invites us to imagine the scene for ourselves. The possessed man, the swine, the pigs, the demons, Jesus, the cliff the pigs run down, the villagers and townspeople. Read it through several times, he says, and imagine yourself in the story and see what happens. What does Jesus look like? Who are you in the story? Does he speak to you? What happens when the swine run into the water? And Hughes ends by writing this. Imagine yourself standing on the edge of the cliff with Jesus. And as the pigs drop into the lake, hear him say to you, there goes your gloom. There goes your anger. There goes your anxiety, your bitterness, your hate. Now, to begin with, it can seem a bit mad or weird. And it's certainly not a practice that always comes naturally and easily to everyone. But that God can and will speak to us through our imaginations and the scriptures is assured. Prayer is so much more than simply saying thank you or sorry or asking for things, though it's, of course, good to do those things too. And the third and final thing this book taught a rather anxious and slightly depressed 18-year-old in room 113 of New Court, Christ's, 2.5 decades ago, was that God does not need you to be cheery, happy, or perfect. For as Gerard Hughes shows in his book, God can speak to us just as much in times of desolation as he does in times of consolation. And that as we begin to dig within ourselves for that treasure which is the kingdom of God, darkness will emerge as well as light. A lot of people never investigate their inner life because they're terrified of what they might find, what demons, as in our second lesson, might emerge. But as Gerard Hughes writes, we can face all this because in the end, the facts of our lives are kind, because God is in those facts. It's only when Elijah recognizes his depressed state, that he's no better than his father's, in our first reading, that God can speak to him and give him renewed purpose. We can allow ourselves to remember on Remembrance Sunday, because the central symbol of the Christian faith is a cross, an instrument of imperial torture. And God is there at the center of it. And beyond Good Friday stands Easter Day. Beyond death comes resurrection. And as Ignatius' spiritual exercises will show anyone who tries them, these events are not just 2,000-year-old history, but they are living realities, gifts from God for each of our lives, truths buried deep in ourselves, treasure just waiting to be discovered. And we learn by following Ignatius and by pursuing that life of prayer that God truly is a God of surprises. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.